The Kelvin-Helmholtz instability discovery on the Sun's surface is genuinely one of those results where the context makes the finding land harder. Kelvin-Helmholtz instability is the phenomenon you see when two fluid layers with different velocities interact. It produces the rolling, wave-like vortices you sometimes see in clouds when wind shear is strong enough. We've observed it on Earth, in Jupiter's atmosphere, in Saturn's rings, even at the boundary of Earth's magnetosphere. But finding it on the solar surface has been theorized for decades and never directly confirmed until the Inouye Solar Telescope made the resolution possible.
Walk me through why the resolution is so important here.
The Sun's surface features operate at scales that are difficult to resolve from Earth because of atmospheric distortion. The NSF Inouye Telescope in Hawaii has adaptive optics sophisticated enough to see features about 20 kilometers across on the Sun, which sounds large until you remember the Sun's diameter is 1.39 million kilometers. The Kelvin-Helmholtz vortices they observed were at the boundary between convective plumes, columns of hot plasma rising from below, and the surrounding photosphere. This tells us something meaningful about energy transport mechanisms in stellar atmospheres that we've been modeling with assumptions rather than observations.
The practical upshot for space weather prediction.
Better models of how energy moves through the solar atmosphere should improve our ability to predict solar flares and coronal mass ejections with meaningful lead time. Right now, we're working with forecasts that are accurate to maybe a few hours. The physics we're missing is partly at exactly these small-scale interaction boundaries that the Inouye telescope is now making visible.
Bioengineered chewing gum that fights HPV sounds like a headline from a satirical magazine, but the underlying science is solid. Researchers have developed a gum that delivers antiviral proteins, in this case, a modified plant-expressed antibody, through oral mucosa contact. HPV transmission frequently involves oral contact, and existing vaccine coverage, while excellent, doesn't reach everyone. The gum format is interesting because compliance is much higher for something that tastes acceptable and requires no injection or pill schedule.
The broader drug delivery innovation here is the oral mucosa pathway. The mouth has extremely high vascular density and relatively thin epithelial layers, which means compounds absorbed there can enter the bloodstream or act locally much faster than compounds swallowed conventionally. Nicotine gum and sublingual medications exploit this, extending it to larger protein molecules, which typically can't survive the digestive tract, is the research advance.
The São Paulo urban forest story got 161 points and generated a community conversation that went well beyond the literal story. What caught people's attention was partly the scale, a single resident transforming a degraded area into a multi-hectare functional forest over roughly 15 years, and partly the urban heat island research that emerged from the project. The forest is now measurably cooler than surrounding streets by several degrees Celsius during peak summer heat, which is the kind of data point that urban planners and climate adaptation researchers find very useful.
There's also a governance story embedded in it. The resident in question navigated Brazilian municipal regulations, land use permissions, and community opposition over years to make this happen. The HN comments included people from other cities describing similar efforts and the regulatory friction they encountered. The structural insight is that cities often have rules designed to prevent land development that are not well equipped to incentivize or protect land restoration.
The Estonia piece, Why Estonians Invite Strangers into Their Back Gardens in Summer, is the kind of cultural explainer that HN readers engage with because it challenges assumptions about privacy and community that people in other cultures take for granted. The tradition involves opening private garden spaces to passersby during midsummer, which runs completely counter to the fenced-off, private property orientation that characterizes most Western European and North American urban spaces.
What the HN thread noted is that Estonia also ranks among the highest in the world for digital governance transparency and public trust in institutions. Whether there's a causal relationship between a cultural disposition toward openness and the political structures that enable e-residency, digital voting, and open government data, that's debatable. But the correlation is interesting enough to sit with.
The Mario Meets Pareto piece topped the HN charts today at over 1,000 points, which tells you something. It's a beautifully executed interactive visualization that uses Mario Kart courses to illustrate Pareto efficiency, the concept that you can't improve one metric without worsening another along the efficient frontier. It works as a data visualization piece, as an explainer of a genuinely important economics concept, and as a piece of craft worth studying independently. When something scores 1,000 points on HN, it usually means it succeeds at multiple things simultaneously.
The Pareto frontier is one of those concepts that sounds abstract until you see it animated with concrete trade-offs. In Mario Kart terms, the fastest course completion might cost you the most item usage, or the safest route sacrifices speed. The visualization makes the abstract trade-off surface physically navigable in a way that a textbook definition just doesn't.
The Piet Quine, a GIF image that is also a program in the Piet visual programming language that outputs itself, is exactly the kind of esoteric technical art that gets HN comments even with 15 upvotes. Piet is a programming language where the code is a visual image and computation is performed by a cursor moving through color blocks. Writing a quine in any language is a non-trivial exercise in self-reference. Writing one that is simultaneously a valid image file and a valid program requires constraints that most people would consider impossible to satisfy simultaneously.
And the BBC Tetris companion piece, actually about a BBC Microbridge companion cartridge, despite the confusing title, is a detailed reverse engineering write-up of a 1980s hardware peripheral. It's the kind of deep technical archaeology that the HN community treasures. Someone spending serious time to understand how a 40-year-old hardware device worked is its own form of digital preservation.